Blog Talk Radio.
I know radio probably ain't gonna play this, but chopper going off in the hood, man, like Afghanistan or the Gaza Strip somewhere, man. Yeah, we hear so much, we probably know to it by now. After all, it's the American way, right?
Home of the brave and free.
It's America.
Free just to murder me.
Land of the handgun.
Land of the beautiful.
Home of the shotgun.
Cursed by the hate we throw.
You're dead if you ain't got one. You said it the home of the brave, I guess. I said it the home of the cage and the vet. All alone with the J, fucking yay, cause it's stress. On phone with the pet, fuck the spray from respect. I learned from the bed, you to stay in the jet. Brought work from the vet, burn a rubber in the vet. It's as good as it get, you to play with the rat. Then I got older and learned, stay away from the wreck. God bless you, nigga. The hustle up and make eight figures. Turn from a goon to a great young nigga. Don't complain that you're doing what it take, young nigga. I was raised in the decade, I hate young nigga. I would dodge your police because they hate young nigga. And we hate them too. 38 him shoot. How to change the system or take him through. He ain't a killer, but he will if you make him. Do a homicide here, right there, put him on trial. Let him have a life in it, then do it with a smile. And he only 19, he ain't even had a challenge. The child told him mama he'll be gone for a while. And she cried, see her, did you put him inside? Now she all on her own cause her other son died. Listen to the politician as he lied and he lied. He a snake in a suit trying to hide in the sky.
Home of the brave and free.
Well damn, officer, what I do?
Free just to murder me.
Now hold on, man, don't shoot, I live over there.
Land of the beautiful.
Hey, man, what you doing, man?
Cursed by the hate we throw.
How many times did that happen to you? What the fuck do you know about being a black man in America? And you wonder why we walk around strapped. Fuck is you saying?
Hey.
For the stars and the stripes, cause the bars in the pipe. Young nigga rolling weed and a cigar he could light. Bang red, either blue, selling hard in the white. Live by the gun, never run from a fight. Trayvon in the hoodie, walking through a neighborhood. He didn't do shit to buddy, he didn't have to die, did he? I guess because his dad was a judge in the city. They didn't want him in the pen with the thug that could get him. A jury of his peers said all were forgiven. The cup on the mind, right or wrong, I'ma kill him. Fill him with the lead like the put Martin Luther King head. Like the kill Malcolm X, Edgar Hoover did, yeah. You can catch me in the hood where they shoot niggas at. They don't know if neighborhood or the Hoover did, yeah. With the power rules of VLs or GD, with me we down the upright from the OG.
Home of the brave and free.
Don't get it fucked up.
Free just to murder.
If you ain't found something you willing to die for, you ain't fit to live.
Land of the beautiful.
To get something you never had, you must be willing to do something you never done.
The hate we throw.
I'ma die by my
hand.
Over the prisoner, more than the people who got to keep the children from becoming prisoners. That makes sense. Tell me why 9 ounces of crack gets you more time than a rate right now. Tell me why the crazy white boy can tote a gun, but I can't right now. Yeah, I had felonies, I done did dirt in the street, but I ain't never gave to nobody that deserved it. You know what I mean? I ain't never ran no public play with no pistol shooting no innocent people. I ain't never ran no school killing no kids. Man, this is the result of you refusing to deal with the issues at hand. Product of the environment you place us in. We ain't do it. We just live through it.
Home of the brave and free.
Got a message to my people.
Free just to murder.
Stop
me.
Waiting on folk to help you. Help yourself. Start
land
with you.
Of the beautiful.
Get yourself out. Reach back. Get somebody
cursed
else out.
By the hate we throw. Is this the
new? And that's the way we gon' get ahead, man.
Sitting
around waiting on the government to do something for us ain't gon' never happen. Probably they don't give a fuck about us.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, all holy praises are forever due to Allah, who is in the perfect person of Master Father Muhammad. We give him praise and we give him thanks for traveling 9,000 miles on his lonesome to seek, save, and assist a people to whom no divine guidance or warner had come to prior. And when he got here, he made the wisest decision that any human being has ever made, and that is when he anointed and appointed for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad to be the eternal leader to his eternal nation. And I would be remiss in my very existence if I did not thank the two of them for their raising up of and protection and guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is in their holy, righteous, noble, and honorable names that I would like to greet all of the listeners in the nation salutation words of peace and paradise. Assalamu alaikum. Dear family, it is a tremendous blessing to be back on air. It is deeply humbling that week after week, people take time out of their busy and important schedules to listen to what their brother has to say. So I would like to start off this episode in the same spirit and demeanor that I start off all of my episodes, and that is in the spirit and demeanor of gratitude. I would like to first and foremost thank Almighty God, Allah, and the person of Master Farah Muhammad. I would like to thank the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, for if it were not for those three men, this young black male in the hills of North America would have absolutely nothing of value to say. I would further like to extend my gratitude and thanks to the Initiative Network, Brother Maurice Muhammad and Sister Pamela Muhammad, for believing in their young brother enough that they would allow me to have a weekly show on the Initiative Network. It is not a privilege and honor that I take lightly, and I strive from week to week that I'm able to do the broadcast to get better in my delivery, get better with my communication, and just continue to grow as a student of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Now, this week's episode is entitled Addressing the Muslim World's Cowardice When It Comes to the West. Now, being that I am a Muslim and I have been practicing Islam since 2007, so for about 10 years now, so no one can accuse me of being biased. This is not a message of hate. This is not a message of anger, although it may be. But at the root, anger is a deep and sincere love. The reason why I am angry with the Muslim world as a whole, because it's not all Muslims. You do have some Muslims, whether they be here in America, whether they be in Lebanon, Afghanistan, you have some Muslims that are absolutely standing on the principles of the faith. You have some Muslims that if Prophet Muhammad were here, he would be so proud of them. But then on the opposite side of the aisle, you have a lot of so-called Muslims that are literally kissing America's ass, seeking a country and a government and a people that not only hates Islam, but hates the Prophet and hates the God who raised the Prophet. I have a big problem every time I go on Twitter or YouTube or I see a clip from some type of panel on one of these mainstream media outlets and I see a Muslim apologist. And the reason why it's so troubling to me is because, one, America has the most lengthiest track record of being anti-Islam. This goes way past 9/11. This goes way past Desert Storm. America's hatred of Islam is literally thousands of years old. Well, let me rephrase that. Not America, but white people, because America didn't become a country until just recently. But white people have a lengthy dissatisfaction and hatred for Islam. And when we just look at America as a country, this country started with the kidnapping of millions of Muslims. You may say, oh, no, they were just kidnapping black Africans. Well, the black people that they kidnapped and brought over here, many of them were Muslims, according to the enemy's own admission. So for me to see so many Muslims taking such a soft stand against Islamophobic country and government, it really, really bothers me. And what brought about this discussion, what brought about this topic, is the fact that as we speak, and we'll hear from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan himself, but as we speak, this country is plotting the complete destruction and demise of the entire world of Islam. So knowing this, you, in one breath, say that you are a Muslim and you follow the Prophet and that there is no God but Allah. But yet you come to America and you're willing to compromise on the principles of the Prophet. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, would never be an apologist for tyranny. Prophet Muhammad would never join the military of a country that was blatantly Islamophobic. So you got Muslims that are in America's military. White folks so much want to please America so much that they join the military, get a gun in their hand, get trained to kill their own people just so America will think that they are all right. You have Muslim politicians are so afraid of what people think of Sharia law, so afraid of what people think of the morals and the principal statutes that are highlighted and promoted in the Holy Quran, that they come over here and all of a sudden they're Democrats. All of a sudden they're Republicans. All of a sudden they're Green Tea Party members. You know, it's really sickening. But when you research Prophet Muhammad's own words, he said, quote, three generations after me would no longer be of me. Now, a generation is between 30 to 40 years. And it's no coincidence that shortly after Prophet Muhammad made his transition from this realm of existence, now you have Sunni Muslims, the advent of the Sunni tribe. And then you have the advent of the Shia tribe. And you see, the white man is a master manipulator. The white man has mastered division. So he goes into these Muslim countries, exploits the differences, pits one against the other, just so he can make money and get people in power that he can control And on the ground, you have Muslims who claim to know Prophet Muhammad, claim to love Prophet Muhammad, but yet they're killing each other over foolishness. So I say with great love in my heart, and as a proud Muslim, that the Muslim world today would make Prophet Muhammad ashamed if he were alive to see this. How can we say that we are Muslims and that we stand for freedom, justice, and equality, but yet you can see what's going on in Palestine and how America sits back and says nothing when Israel bombs and gasses and shoots innocent Palestinians? You can see what's going on in Libya, how they destroy our brother Muammar Gaddafi's country. You can see what America has been trying to do in Syria. First, I believe it was in either 2013 or 14, they tried to lie and say Bashar al-Assad was gassing his own people. But we found out that that was a hoax, and that America was trying to use that as an excuse to go into Syria, Bashar al-Assad, and put somebody in power in Syria that would be more bendable to America's will. And this is what America has done time and time again in the Muslim countries. But now what America is doing is selecting and propping up good Muslims. Muslims that are not a threat to America's interests. Muslims that want to go along to get along. Now, as a black person, I know that type of demeanor all too well because I see it with some silly black people. Silly Negroes that so much favor with white folks in America that they're willing to sell out their own people. We call it cooning. And we're starting to see that same attitude more and more and more in the Islamic world. And for the life of me, I don't understand why so many Muslims are ignorant to the identity. You see, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches that the white man is the devil. And many Muslims during the time when he was among us said that he was teaching shirk, said that he was teaching hate, said that his teachings were not that of Prophet Muhammad. And now, 30, 40, 50 years down the road, how many can say that this man was not telling the truth? Go and ask Iraq, is the white man a devil? Go and ask Afghanistan, is the white man the devil? Go and ask Libya, white man the devil? South Africa. The list goes on and on. So the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad have been proven true time and time again. As a community, the entire Muslim world is weak. And if we do not galvanize behind the principle of Muhammad, if we do not develop the spiritual testicular fortitude to be able to stand on those principles against white supremacy and Western tyranny, then the longevity of our religion and our way of life is at stake. Now, the reality of the situation is that we can continue to be weak. We can continue to want white people and the West's approval more than we want the freedom and liberation of our people. We can continue to do that. But just know that if we continue to do that, then when we pray to Allah and to our mosque, know that we are considered hypocrites. Because how can you say there is no God but Allah, but you bow to the West? You may not bow to them physically. Some of you may do that. But even if you don't bow to them physically, whenever you see wrongdoing, and you don't speak out against it, you're bowing to wrongdoing. Anytime you see misconduct, and you don't, you're bowing to misconduct. Anytime you can, as a Muslim, join a military that you know what they are doing to your fellow Muslim brothers and sisters over in the East. But because you get a paycheck, because you can get citizenship, because you can be seen as a quote-unquote hero and looked up to, you don't give a damn. That is not the way of the Prophet. That is not the way of Allah. And this is why I'm so thankful for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because he seems to be the only person that's not afraid to check us as Muslims. We are not above critique. We are not immune to getting an intellectual spanking when we do wrong. I, for one, can't stand a weak person, especially a weak Muslim. Prophet Muhammad was not a sit-down prophet. Prophet Muhammad was not a soft Prophet. Prophet Muhammad was a warrior prophet. The Holy Quran is filled with wars that he led men into. They were always for righteous reasons, but nevertheless, Prophet Muhammad was not a punk. So how can you be a Muslim? How can you be a Muslim and be afraid to speak up? Or even defend yourself. Every single time I go on the internet and I see a such thing as a Muslim sister getting her hijab or headpiece pulled off, and she does nothing, I get upset, because all Muslims are warriors. That goes for men and women. In Islamic history, some of the most revered warriors were women. So to every Muslim woman out there, your hijab or your headpiece, that's your crown. That's your gift from Allah. That is your signature of modesty. And if any deranged fool attempts to pull that off of your head, you should whoop his behind. Can't fight? Throw something at him. And if you're afraid to throw something at him, you need to pray to Allah for strength. You need to find a jiu-jitsu class or a boxing class or something so that way you can defend yourself. Because as we can see, Islamophobia is rising more and more. Muslims must know how to defend themselves. Do you all think that we are going to get away with just praying five times a day? Do you all think that we're going to get away with just reciting some rakahs and whatnot? There's going to come a time in every Muslim's life where they're going to have to stand up on the principles of the faith that they say they believe in. I just hope that when the time comes for me to have to stand up on the principles of what I say I believe in, I won't be found being a weak-kneed coward like many of the so-called Muslim leaders that I see on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube, etc., etc. This trend has to be stopped. It must be known that Islam does not produce weak believers. We are peaceful people because that's what the Prophet wants, and that's what the Quran teaches. But the Quran also teaches that we have to be steadfast. We cannot allow America's and the West's seemingly almightiness to have us so spooked that we just say, to hell with Islam. And you know, living over here in America, I see so many Muslims that when they come over here, Muslim women, they get rid of their headpiece. Their modest attire goes out the window. Start trying to dress like women over here. That's what happens. When that happens, we call that westernized Islam, where you try to hide who you are, and then you go off to some Islamic center that's usually in a white neighborhood and think everything is okay. Many of you Arabs who come over here, you all think that you're white. Not all, because I've met some very down-to-earth Muslims that know what's up. But it's a lot of Muslims that come over here and they think they're white. And their attitude towards black people is reminiscent and reflect average white person. So while you all are trying to impress them, they're plotting the demise of our holy city of Mecca, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will highlight in Inshallah soon. So I want to remind everyone that is on the line, if you have a question or a comment, you are more than welcome to send it. The chat room is open. And if you would like to verbalize your question or your comment, just push 1 so that way I know that you would like to be heard, and I will bring you in immediately. Right now, I'm going to go to a few commercials, and when we get back, we will continue our discussion.
Just Us Youth Organization is on a mission to help eliminate the term at-risk youth by providing STEM, which means science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and entrepreneurship education through programs that encourage positive social development, increase educational opportunities, and economic security via media outlets. Our innovative TV show, Stay Focused Youth, is based on youth interviewing STEM professionals and business owners in their work environment. By becoming a youth, adult, or business member of the Just Us Youth Organization, you can receive discounted products and services from 33web.com. Receive free advertising for your business or organization through our many donation options. Sponsor a student e-portfolio that highlights academic achievement and talent, and have your logo displayed on their site as a supporter. As a sponsor, you can be interviewed on Stay Focused Youth TV, and you'll receive recognition and logo placement on our website and social media. We also provide a vehicle safety seminar and workshop, along with how to extend your car life book. If you would like to help our youth stay focused and inspired to become future leaders in the STEM and entrepreneurship field, or if you would like to purchase a How to Extend Your Car Life book, please contact the founder and president, Mr. Jonathan Smith, at 242-423-6539 at 701-639-0190, or email him at jesustv33@gmail.com. Find out how to get involved with a student e-portfolio today. Please visit our website at www.jes-us.org.
Dr. James Jones III is a graduate of The Ohio State University. He has earned graduate degrees in African American Studies and History. Dr. Jones has produced the following books: Creating Revolution as They Advance, A Narrative History of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. These writings examine the historical context that facilitated the demise of the Civil Rights Movement's patience and the ascension of a much bolder and less patient mid-60s Black Power politics. Manhood, Race, and Culture, Volumes 1 and 2, contains 66 essays that cover national events that occurred within the African-American community. Oh, Bruni, An African-American Odyssey Home, is an ethnographic study that follows an African-American to Africa, his ancestral homeland. Foolish Floyd, The Life and Times of an African-American, follows an individual who emanates from a rich tradition of contrarians. You can purchase the writings of Dr. Jones at Amazon.com, also available on Kindle. Dr. Jones is also our network resident doctor and can be heard every Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the Initiative Radio Network. Please visit his website at manhoodraceandculture.com.
All praises are due to Allah. We are back with Joshua Generation Speaks. For those that may just now be joining us, the topic of our subject tonight is addressing the Muslim world's cowardice when it comes to the West. I want to remind everybody that Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. Okay? It's growing. It is allowing in more young people than ever, and we are proud of that. However, no matter what the organization, religion, team, etc. is, it's always quality over quantity. And what good is it having the fastest growing religion and billions of Muslims if the majority of Muslims cower beneath the whip of white supremacy and Western tyranny? I would rather have 100,000 Muslims in total that are unwilling to bow to America and the West than 2 billion Muslims, half of which are scared shitless of America and the West. Quality over quantity. And so, as a Muslim who is deeply in love with his religion, his way of life, I'm deeply concerned at the same time for the state that the Muslim world is in. And as I stated before the break, Prophet Muhammad was not a coward. Prophet Muhammad was not one of these people that was afraid to speak the truth. Every tyrant that he encountered, he overcame them. And when we look throughout history, the most feared generals, war generals and warriors, etc., were Muslims. Even now to modern day, the most feared leaders that America has ever seen have always been Muslims. So we have to ask ourselves, what is it about Islam that simultaneously credible strength and courage and also strikes terror into the real terrorist heart? That's the question that we must ask ourselves. Now we're going to get ready to go on another brief break, and when we come back, we're going to answer it by going down a list of the fearless and powerful Muslim leaders that America has ever seen.
All right, folks, welcome back to News One Now here from Clark Atlanta University. On Sunday, activist Tamika Mallory was flying back from Miami to New York City when she had an issue with a seat where she switched her seat from a middle seat to an aisle seat. Well, when she got to the gate, the attendant there printed out a ticket, tore up her ticket, and said she was switched back to a middle seat. That led to a confrontation where she said she was disrespected. Then, and the woman who disrespected her was a black woman. Then a white American Airlines pilot came out to tell in the conversation, followed her on the plane, and ended up throwing her off the plane, including one of her fellow activists, my son. Talk about drama. Tamika recorded a 26-minute video on Facebook on Sunday, giving a lot of us a clue to what took place. She joins us right now. Tamika, good morning.
Good morning, Roland Martin. How you doing?
Doing great. You're having a news conference later today with your attorney, correct? What time is that going to be?
It'll be at 10:30 in New York City.
And what has been – what? Here we are, obviously, it is Tuesday, 48 hours later. What has been the response thus far of American Airlines to your video that has been shared and spread all across social media?
There really has been no response other than receiving, a complaint officer or someone in the customer relations department called me to take my complaint while I was in the airport, maybe about 2 hours after the incident. Other than that, I have not received a call from any of the senior management. I received a direct message on Twitter yesterday saying that they take the matter seriously and that they're investigating and will get back to me. But again, no one from senior management has picked up the phone to call me. And as you said, this is now 2 days later and we have not heard anything from them.
Now, what was interesting is in your video, you said where the white pilot, when you then said you were one of the co-organizers of the Women's March, that did his tone change? Did how he treat you change, all of a sudden change?
Absolutely. I mean, when I told him, first of all, I want to be very clear about this because there are people who have said on my social media that, you know, they know that I must have at some point been belligerent or been going off on the pilot. And I made it very clear on my Facebook page that after I had been intimidated, targeted, and was being thrown off the plane. At this point, I was being thrown off the plane for nothing, that I absolutely was righteously indignant. I was upset, as anyone would be, and I did tell the pilot a few choice words. So I'm not ashamed of that, and I would do it again if this situation happened again. But during me telling him off, I mentioned to him that I was one of the four women who led the Women's March. And at that point, he turned around and said, well, if you would like to have a conversation, maybe we could do that. But at this point, we had already had a conversation where he asked me whether or not I was able to behave on the flight and if I was going to be a problem on the flight, in which I told him that I was not. He had me to look at the flight attendant and to promise her that I knew how to behave and that I was going to conduct myself properly on the flight. I did that. He allowed me to go to my seat. I sat in my seat for at least 15 minutes without anyone saying anything to me. I didn't say anything to anyone else. And all of a sudden, my name was called twice from the loudspeaker, and I was told by another woman who had nothing to do with the incident, and she also was not one of the flight attendants, that I was being ejected from the plane because the pilot wanted me to be taken off. And he pointed at me and told the woman, yes, her, off. And so at that point, as I said, I began to let him know that it was white male aggression, that he was a racist, and the way in which he was treating me was happening because I was a black woman, and it was disrespectful and discrimination. And when I again...
They also threw off your fellow activist, my son.
So that part, officers showed up, which they often do, to remove me from the plane. My son had done absolutely nothing, Roland. He didn't speak because he knows from doing this work that as a black man, if he were to get hostile, move his arms too fast, anything, he knows what could have happened to him. He did not say one thing. If anything, he may have asked the flight attendant, the pilot, can we talk about this? Let's try to work it out. That was the only thing.
Right.
If he said that, he did not get loud. Nothing. I was the one who was the one who was loud. It was not him. Didn't say anything. When the police showed up, the pilot looked at him and told the officers, yeah, and him off too. Get him off of here too. For nothing.
What do you want American, this is my last question before I got to go to a break. What do you want American Airlines to do?
Well, I want them to, this situation, I believe, Roland, happened to me because it's happening to other people that don't have a platform. And so people are not able to get on Roland Martin's show to talk about this. I want them to go from giving people vouchers and saying, I'm sorry, to actual policy change that lets their employees know that if they discriminate and disrespect people, they will be terminated. That's one of the things. We'll talk about the rest of it as we go on. I'm sure hopefully you will have me back. But that policy change piece is very, very important for us to make sure that American Airlines becomes an example for corporations across the board that they cannot disrespect people of color and discriminate against us.
All right, Tamika Mallory, we look forward to seeing if American Airlines will be reaching out to you as a result of this. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Weekdays on TV One.
I will never lie to you.
Oh, my God.
Roland Martin.
He doesn't want to talk to us. He wants to ignore us.
Uncensored.
Hell no.
No.
That ain't gonna cut it, boo.
Unapologetic.
No, that is fundamentally false. You are wrong.
Unfiltered.
He wants an America where we all look alike. He ain't talking about black people.
Unrelenting.
You better go work out, because you got a fight on your hands.
News One Now with Roland Martin. Weekdays at 7 a.m. on TV One.
Keith, we're back on the Joshua Generation Speech. Now, that clip that I played of Roland Martin and Tamika Mallory, it has absolutely nothing to do with Islam at all. But the reason why I played it is because I wanted to highlight a principle. If you notice at the beginning of that clip, it was said that the flight attendant who disrespected the black woman was another black woman. And that touches on what I was talking about earlier about Muslims that are willing to any lengths to show the system that they are with the system, even if it means disrespecting and attacking their own people. So we see that in the black community, and we also see it more and more now in the Muslim community. The Muslim world is divided between Shia and Sunni, Southern Sudan, Northern Sudan, et cetera, et cetera. We have to ask ourselves, where is this division coming from? Where is this gang-like mentality coming from? Because when we figure that out, that will also be the origin and the source of all of this fear of America and white folks in general. We'll never be the Muslims that we have the great potential to be. as long as we are kneeling and bowing to white folks. We will never be the Muslims that Prophet Muhammad, Ibn Abdullah, intend for us to be if we are not willing to stand up on the basic principle of what Islam teaches. And so as we wait for this clip to finish downloading of Minister Farrakhan warning the Muslim world to get out of bed with America, I just want to say to all of us that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been given a tremendous authority. He has exemplified love on a level that very few ever have. This man has gone to Mecca. This man has gone to various powerful and well-known countries in the world of Islam, not carrying a gun, not carrying an atomic bomb, but carrying truth in his mouth and love in his heart. And he has warned Muslim leaders to stop killing each other over petty differences. Stop allowing America and white folks in general to exploit the differences. And if you all truly believe in Prophet Muhammad the way that you say you do, then be men, be women, and sit down at a table, hash out your differences, and settle on the best part of what you do share beliefs in. You love Prophet Muhammad, there's one belief that you all share. You love Allah, there's another belief that you share. You believe in fasting, you believe in charity, you believe in prayer. You believe that there's no God but Allah. So if you believe all of these things, then who cares who is the descendant from this so-called king? Because that's where a problem is right there. There is no such thing as kings or queens in Islam. Those are European practices, European titles. There are no kings in Islam, but yet when you go to Saudi Arabia, which is well known that is in the pocket of America, you have a king there. You go to Jordan, which is also in the pocket of America in the West. There are kings there. There are royal families there, families that have been ruling for 20, 30, 40 years, and nobody has said a damn thing about it. But when Mugabe does it in his country, oh, he's a tyrant. When Muammar Gaddafi was so loved by the people that they kept him in power for decades, oh, he's a tyrant. So this hypocrisy that people have been exemplifying, it has to stop. As a reminder to everybody, if you have a question or a comment, the chat room is open. We will be starting to listen to and take questions momentarily. And also, we will be answering phone calls. So if you have a question that you like to verbalize, all you have to do is push one, and I'll be more than happy to bring you in so that way we can hear from you. In the meantime, we're getting ready to go on another break.
Just Us Youth Organization is on a mission to help eliminate the term at-risk youth by providing STEM, which means science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and entrepreneurship education through programs that encourage positive social development, increase educational opportunities, and economic security via media outlets. Our innovative TV show, Stay Focused Youth, is based on youth interviewing STEM professionals and business owners in their work environment. By becoming a youth, adult, or business member of the Just Us Youth Organization, you can receive discounted products and services from 33web.com. Receive free advertising for your business or organization through our many donation options. Sponsor a student e-portfolio that highlights academic achievement and talent and have your logo displayed on their site as a supporter. As a sponsor, you can be interviewed on Stay Focused Youth TV, and you'll receive recognition and logo placement on our website and social media. We also provide a vehicle safety seminar and workshop, along with How to Extend Your Car Life book. If you would like to help our youth stay focused and inspired to become future leaders in the STEM and entrepreneurship field, or if you would like to purchase a How to Extend Your Car Life book, please contact the founder and president, Mr. Jonathan Smith, at 242-423-6539 at 701-639-0190, or email him at jesustv33@gmail.com. Find out how to get involved with a student e-portfolio today. Please visit our website at www.jes-us.org.
Peace and blessings, family. My name is Pamela Muhammad, and this is the Initiative Radio Network. Our program lineup is as follows. On Sundays at 3 p.m., we have Remnant Peculiar Israelites, hosted by Sister Shamika. On Mondays at 8 p.m., we have Keeping It Live Radio, hosted by Sister Phyllis. On Tuesdays at 8 p.m., we have the Aunt Canary Experience, hosted by Brother Anthony. On Wednesdays at 8 p.m., we have Who Did It To You Roundtable Discussion with yours truly, Pamela Muhammad, Brother Dr. James Jones, and moderated by Brother Maurice Muhammad. On Thursdays at 8 p.m., we have Global Outreach, hosted by Sister Rhonda Michelle. And on Fridays at 9 p.m., we have Just Us Creating Economic Self-Sufficiency, hosted by Brother John. We believe at the Initiative Radio Network that we must create an environment where we can do for self and go to war against anybody who comes against what we decide to build. Trust and believe. We love you, Black people, and we are giving our lives to make you free. Truth has come to you.
So welcome back to the Joshua Generation Speech. We're going to go ahead and start taking some questions from the chat room. Lily from Baltimore wants to know, why as a Muslim are you, let me read this correctly, why as a Muslim are you talking about this? This should be discussed in-house. Well, Lily, anytime you are a part of something, whether it be a nation, whether it be a group, if the group or the nation or the team is a sovereign group, nation, or team, then it affords the members or the citizens of it the right to voice their opinion and voice their concerns. I would be less than a Muslim. I saw the institution that I love and the religion that I am a part of be in error and I not say anything. And this address has absolutely nothing to do with how I feel about people on a personal level. I understand that long after I am gone, Islam is going to be here, because long before I was born, Islam was here. And since I love Islam so much, I am 100% committed to the endurance and continuation of Islam.
And I know that Islam cannot endure. Islam cannot continue as long as we have weak need and cowardly Muslims so-called speaking for us and so-called representing us. So it is my duty as a young Muslim man who loves Islam to say with love that the Muslim world in general bowing to America and the West. So that is the reason why I'm making this address. Brian from Miami says, I tune into your show all the time. Love the content. Love the content. Keep sharing, bro. Thank you, Mr. Brian. Now, again, anybody that is on call and they would like to verbalize their comment or their question, all you have to do is just push one and we'll bring you right in, okay? So I'm still waiting for this clip to get done. I don't know if it'll be done before the show gets over with, but, you know, all praises due to Allah if it is or if it isn't. So as we begin to wind down this show this evening, I would definitely want to thank everybody for tuning in, and you all definitely make the show what it is. And I want to appreciate, show appreciation rather, for the Initiative Network, Brother Maurice, Sister Pamela, and everybody that just tunes in on a weekly basis. So everybody enjoy your weekend. Next week, the show will be back to an hour and a half, maybe even 2 hours. Just this week, it was a very, very short show because it was one that, you know, it's really from the heart, you know. So there won't be a lot of videos or, you know, like going deep into notes or anything like that. This is just really from the heart. And as a Muslim, I just want the Muslim world to stop being so cowardice when it comes to America and to the West. So same time, same station, next weekend, we will be discussing the mysterious and questionable deaths of some of the witnesses from the Las Vegas shooting. I don't know how many of you all are aware, but the Las Vegas shooting happened a couple of weeks ago, maybe just over a month ago now. Five that we know of, five witnesses who have accounts, eyewitness accounts, that contradict the media and the government's official story, have wound up dead. It's not a coincidence. It didn't happen by chance. These people were clearly murdered because the media and the government did not want the right and truthful version of what really happened in Las Vegas to get out. So that will be next weekend. Show will, inshallah, be starting at 7 o'clock again and ending maybe around 8:30 or 9 o'clock. So it's going to be a very, very packed episode, very informative. And once again, we're going to be brought face-to-face with the beast, face to face with the enemy. So hope you guys are ready, and I will definitely see you all next weekend. Assalamu alaikum. Have a great evening.